Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Show to camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Nah,
this has turned up. Right.
I'm going to put this on you guys.
You okay here?
There we go. All right. Sorry. Donovan McNabb will join us in moments. Donovan's call-in brought to you by United Tire. Now is the time to make the right choice about who services your car, United Tire and Service. Go to unitedtire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. Before we get to Donovan, not the best day ever in the history for the NFL referees in the Giants-Eagles game yesterday. I would say they missed several calls on both sides. I think they probably, if we're being honest, they benefited us a little bit more than they benefited the Giants yesterday. I always, when I watch games like that, I always wonder how much our ability to watch all these replays makes the referees' jobs harder.
Yeah.
You know, like even the tush push, there's so many of them. Even ones like the pass interference, the offensive pass interference. You go back and you watch every big reception.
I see that every day.
Every play. We got to get to Donovan. I can't keep him waiting.
No.
If you're listening, gather around the radio.
Yeah.
Call your friends. Call your family. Because if there is one person you want to hear talk about yesterday's Eagles-Giants game, it is a legend in midnight green, Donovan McNabb. What's up, Donovan?
That's my quarterback.
What's up, man?
What's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Oh, we're doing great. Big win off on a hated rival. They kicked our ass a couple weeks ago, so it felt good. I would imagine you would think, all things considered, the best all-around effort from the Eagles offense yesterday that you've seen this year. Yeah?
You know, I think it's a steady progression. And again, remember I mentioned that we wouldn't see the type of offense I thought probably but until like week 7, week 8. And it's a long season, and a lot of this kind of comes from not playing in the preseason. And so, yes, there's been turmoil. There's been some toxicity. I think also, too, there's been kind of a lot of things that's been unexpected, a little bit as far as the defense is concerned, not as strong as they have been. And then, obviously, injuries have played a major part. We haven't had explosive field position from our special teams. I just think it's a mix of everything, and a lot of it is expectations were so high coming off the Super Bowl, but not realizing that coming back that next year, the expectations would lead to players being expected to do things, and they just haven't been able to fit the bill so far.
Well, one thing we were able to do yesterday was run the ball in a way that we haven't been able to run all year. The Eagles
but
made a judgment.
You know,
yes.
I mean, you got to look at it in a sense of
we did.
We've had some explosive plays.
No,
you know what I mean? We had explosive runs.
Donovan, we had two running backs rush for 100 yards.
We did, but statistically it looked that way because of the big explosive runs that we had. But when you when you're able to get your rushes up high, which we haven't all season, minus the explosive plays where you're methodically moving the ball, when you're getting 4 yards here and 5 yards here, yeah, when you get explosive plays, it looks great statistically. But it's like just like Jalen. Statistically, I mean, he was highly accurate. He did a good job of spreading the ball around, but he didn't throw for 300-400 yards. You know what I'm saying? So we got to look at it in the sense of this offense is a methodical type of offense where last year we were running Saquon 25 times a game or so, and he was getting those 4 or 5 yard pops, and then that would lead sometimes to that explosive plays. We had a lot of explosive plays that were big. I think what did we get? We converted like a 30 yard carry or something. It was
We had a second and 26.
And then we get 30-yard. That's what I'm talking about. And so I want to see this offense be a little bit more balanced as far as our rushes being up there, maybe around 40 carries, 35, 40s, and then we're looking at our passing to be around 25 attempts, 25 to maybe 30 40? Attempts.
We only ran 60 plays.
40 runs? What are we doing, five?
Listen. Come on, our passing offense hasn't been great. Like,
I agree. I'm just saying 40 runs. That's going back to the 90s, man. We ain't even get 40 runs in there.
Well, okay. You know what I mean. I mean, like, we run a 80 plays a game.
30, 30.
Like we used to do. Like we,
runs,
yeah, we run a 65, 70 plays a game. Okay, but you know what I mean. At least give us 30 to 35 carries.
All right, I'm with you there.
30 to 35 carries. Well, we're not asking Jalen to throw the ball 40 times a game.
Yes.
The Eagles have started running these six offensive linemen sets.
Fred Thomas.
Yeah, but they throw Fred Thomas
Johnson,
in there.
Fred Johnson. Fred Johnson. Taylor?
Yeah. No, different guy.
Fred Smoot?
Yeah. There's a lot of Freds.
Freddie T ain't running nowhere.
Fred Barnett?
That counts on the pivot.
Yeah. What do you think of, because Buffalo does that a good bit too, the six offensive linemen. How do you think that helps? Because it has helped the passing game as well a little bit.
Well, it's a wrinkle. It's a wrinkle, and I think what you're seeing is a lot of teams are adding that element to it where you might go with a counter play where you're pulling a guard or we're trying to reach out to that defensive end and scoop up to the linebacker now to get the running back to that second level. I don't have a problem with it. I see a lot of teams doing it. But you got to kind of take into account, I mean, with our starting five offensive linemen, we got to get more push, you know, from the line of scrimmage moving forward. And that's when you'll start to see Saquon and our running game start to open up a little bit more because now he's seeing holes 2 to 3 yards downfield and not having to make a move behind the line of scrimmage to get 3 yards on a carry.
Now, the whole thing about playing from under center. We made a big deal out of it last week. Right. I mean, yesterday, Five, I thought, man, it was actually, when I re-looked at the game today, they were under center more than they were not under center yesterday.
And they need to.
Okay, you like it. Talk to me about why you like it.
Yeah. Well, think about it from a linebacker standpoint. Like, there are a lot of different things that you can do from an offensive standpoint. Hand the ball, just run the ball. We can bootleg it. We can half roll it. We could do a lot of play action off of it. Where as a linebacker, your first read as we poke the ball out to the running back, you're going to take those three steps
downhill
toward the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
Yeah. And so the safety as well is going to take. He's going to now sit. So now if you want to go over the top and run a deep post, or you want to go on a two on one. Versus the safeties, which are two wide receivers, one running a post, another running a corner, or you might run a dig route in front of them where you're taking the top off. That, with the linebacker now pushing up toward the line of scrimmage, that leaves that 10 to 15 yard area around the middle of the football field wide open. And so I like it because we got a running back that's not an east and west kind of a running back. He's a north and south guy. When you're a shotgun, he starts east and west to get downhill.
Yep.
And so now, that's the thing that I think people are forgetting. When you look at Saquon, the game has changed so much with everything in shotgun. But when you're an under center, Now you're dictating to the defense how you're going to attack them. And that's something that we've been missing. And you see the success that you would have, especially with Jalen. Jalen can use his legs. He can play action. He can boost. As soon as he boosts away, he's going to pull somebody away that we don't have to worry about blocking because the quarterback is pulling. And then we can set up and throw and get the ball to the outside guys. And then also in that element, our tight end will be very involved. Now, we didn't get the ball a lot to him with it, but I think that's something we need to get back to, creating chaos in the middle of the football field.
Yeah, I don't know if you're Kevin Petullo. I would run every play from under center. I mean, the success they've had the last 2 weeks, like, why would you do anything different?
You can definitely mix it up, but let that be a staple because you can go pistol.
Yeah.
You can also go in the shotgun, but it can't be just 90% shotgun. Because, you know, as a defense, you're looking exactly where he's at, and he's about 5 or 6 yards away.
Yep.
Well, and they have to make sure that they're passing sometimes from under center too, because if all they do is run from under center, then the defense is going to know what you're doing every time you do it.
Well, that's when the play action game becomes more effective, and then also our drop back game. Like I'm watching some of the footwork stuff, and I don't know what they're teaching as far as timing is concerned from playing within the pocket, but I see Jalen drop 7 steps in the shotgun to throw a go ball. You're late. Like that ball he threw to Dotson, that was a jump ball.
Yep.
He could have got that ball off in 3 steps. He could have got that ball off in 5. But when you take 7 steps in the gun, you're already back at 9.5 to 10 yards to throw a deep ball that really from the line of scrimmage, it looked like it was about a 35-yard completion.
Yeah.
Defensively, the Eagles had one of their best games of the year as well, certainly getting to the quarterback. Better than they've done in the past. What did you see from the Eagles on defense yesterday?
I saw pressure, but I also saw they playing against a rookie quarterback. But in the first game, what killed him wasn't so much of his arm, a Jackson Dart. It was his legs. And so I also look into account. I mean, he was emotional after obviously Scatterboo going down. But their offense to me is pretty much stagnant, you know, where they don't have neighbors. You know, they don't have the weapons that we would have to truly focus on. But I think for our defense, I would like to see that in the next 2 weeks, and we'll see what that looks like. But we definitely needed it, obviously, getting to the quarter. What did they get, 5 sacks or so?
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and I just think for this defense, they needed something like that. Now, I don't know what Brandon brings, gives them. Maybe he gives them 20 plays a game. But, you know, as of right now, we definitely need some pressure coming from somewhere other than up the middle.
Yep.
Donovan, A.J. Brown is a super talented player that doesn't seem super happy. The trade deadline is about 9 days. And while
they won't do it.
Well, can I let me ask
you? How we won't do it, because how we would get – they would come down on how.
I don't
think
so.
He won't do it.
You think locally they would? I don't think locally they would come
down. Yeah, they would.
I don't think so. I really do. I disagree.
You lose, this is the thing. Anytime you lose a weapon like that, people outside can look past everything else that's being created in the locker room. People can look past that, and then all of a sudden they start pointing the finger elsewhere. But I think this possibly could be his last year with the Philadelphia Eagles. But I don't think he pulls the trigger to do that come trade deadline.
One last thing. Is Dak still your MVP favorite?
I'll tell you one thing. And I know for a fact, when we got off the phone last week and you see Baker Mayfield struggle, the first thing you said was, dang. Donovan was right.
Absolutely, I did not.
I did.
I didn't.
Thank you.
Baker's in there trying. Baker's got to do everything himself.
Oh, poor me.
No. Yeah. Dak's got to.
No. Hey, Mike Evans gave him at least a quarter and a half.
Yeah. Like, yes. You know what I mean? Right.
He gave him at least a quarter and a half. He still had a Buka, but no. Don't tell me, no, you waited for that
nah,
Denver
man.
Game.
Nah,
yeah,
man.
You couldn't wait for that Denver
Baker,
game.
Baker won yesterday. Baker won. Baker didn't get his ass kicked by the Broncos.
I'm going to tell you who I would say now has the upper hand in the MVP voting is Jonathan Taylor.
Now, do you think he could, as a running back, do you
think there's no way he's winning it.
Do you think he could win?
Well, I think he would only win if Baker has those type of games like he had, and then Dak continues to go. But I think at the end of it all, if it ends up that way where he's one of the front runners, they'll add Daniel Jones still to that mix.
Yep.
But I think it will be – I wouldn't say it would be hard-pressed because I've seen it. I came in second behind Marshall Faulk in the MVP.
Talk that talk, Fi. Let them know.
For myself. So, but if they continue to go to where they're going, you know, then Jonathan will run away with it. I'm telling you. It's impressive what they're doing in Indy.
I just realized, we got robbed out of an MVP. Now, see, back then, it was a quarterback award, he would have won the award.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
I think that was that 2000 or 2001?
It was 2000.
Yeah.
I want to say it might have been 2001. Yeah. I think it might have been 2001.
And we had all those comeback wins that you put the squad on your back, and we did some things that year, man. We did some things that year. You should have been the MVP that year, man.
You know, everybody act like I ain't did nothing, but yeah, you're right.
All right,
just got to remind everybody. That's all. We got to remind everybody.
Your weekly reminder about how good Donovan was.
I don't know. Did Adrian Peterson get MVP?
He did. The year he came back. I think the year he came back off the
ACL.
ACL
after
tear.
Like 6 months.
He rushed for 2,000 yards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Off an ACL tear.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably deserved it. Yeah, he probably deserved it.
He was the last one, and then LT and Sean Alexander went back to back in 2005-06.
Yeah. Wow, Seahawks, right?
Yeah.
All right, Donovan. We will talk to you next week, man. Thank you.
Big dog.
Good, fellas. Yes, sir. Right.
There he is, Donovan McNabb. Look.
Everyone's sleeping on Drake May, by the way. Seven straight games of 200 yards and 100 plus quarterback rating.
That's one of my AFC quarterbacks.
Many other quarterbacks to do that.
I don't know.
It's like Peyton, Rodgers. In the prime of their careers, not second year. That's a quarter.
Imagine if he had Stephon Diggs and
A.J. Brown. I don't know, Jim.
Also, I'm not.
Romo did that yesterday.
I know.
Also, I'm not letting Donovan tell me we didn't run the ball well yesterday. I'm not. I'm just not.
I just totally ignored that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know he was. He's an Eagles Hall of Famer.
Almost won MVP in 2000.
Almost won MVP. Syracuse University. Orange.
They ran the ball well yesterday.
Yes. No. Absolutely not.
They were trying for 300 yards.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Donovan.
They ran the ball. Yes.
Not allowing that. The Twitter question is brought to you by Morris
Jewelers.
Donovan
hits are getting spicy.
They are.
They're getting
spicy. Because he won't just say yes.
Yeah, he won't relent.
Yeah. I asked him about Dak. He just fires back at me about Baker.
Yeah, idiot.
Yeah.
he's actually turning into one of us.
Yes, he is. We got to get him here for a full show.
He'd be arguing to the death.
Yeah, yeah. Expensive.
Yes, it would be.
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Show to camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers with locations in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. There's a Mark's minutes from everywhere online at marks-jewelers.com. I want you to guess this one.
What you got?
So the question is Kevin Petullo a good offensive coordinator?
Oh, come on, man.
What
yes.
do you think? What do you think the poll is?
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
These people, man. I'm going to say it's probably 50-50.
You nailed it.
It is 50-50.
It's 50-50. But if we had asked this 2 weeks ago, it would have been 90-10.
Worse. Yeah, it would have been worse the other way.
It would have been 90-10. Yeah.
He's working his way there.
He is.
He's working his way there.
He is. Well, I don't
know. Good stuff yesterday.
Did you see Elliott's proclamation today?
I didn't.
Elliott's.
Oh, yeah, the head coach.
He's going to be head coach next year.
He crazy, man. Yeah.
Oh, he's so happy.
He didn't even want Petullo.
I know. So that's what I'm saying. Even I had to be like, slow down, Elliott.
Yes. He's out of control.
I wanted the guy here. He's not. Now we're making him head coaching material after two games?
Immediately. And you know what Elliott's going to say? I'm already planning for tomorrow because he'll be with us at 3 o'clock. He's going to say, look, I think I said, this is what Elliott will say, he'd be a better head coach than an offensive coordinator.
He did always say that.
He did say that because he likes how he speaks at the podium.
Yeah.
He likes how he commands a room. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. Gary in Vineland, you're on WIP. What's up, Gary?
You know, you said about the relationship kind of. I don't know if you saw the interview at the end with Saquon.
He was I did not.
Yeah, it's just going to be nice just to get away from everybody.
I did see that. I saw
I don't think he meant it that way.
I heard that the same way. I heard it the same way.
No, really?
He's more or less like. It'll be good to just get away from everybody for a little bit.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, like, you know.
There's nothing wrong when she goes away for the weekend. You have the house to yourself. Every once in a while, you need a few days.
Maybe Saquon's got to go to a movie by himself. Who knows?
Maybe. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe he'll get that big pretzel they have at AMC and eat it all by himself.
Yeah.
Yep. I just can't. Like, I heard AJ was, like, taking down all his old, like, posts and stuff. Like, come on, man.
So hold on real quick.
It appears as if.
Because I heard something vaguely about this. So
yes.
So what? I didn't know if this was substantiated or not. Like, is this, he's deleting tweets to where he was complimentary of Jalen?
So it appears as if all of his old tweets where he was complimentary of Jalen are gone. Now, the thing that I check, because I'm not going through and finding these Jalen tweets.
Right.
The thing that I check is all my tweets delete after 90 days. I was like, maybe he deleted all of his old tweets.
Okay.
He didn't. So, if the Jalen ones aren't there, then he specifically went back and got rid of the Jalen.
Because people were, from what I believe, they're quote tweeting the old tweet saying, what happened to this? And he saw that.
And got rid of them.
And he was deleting them. That was my internet sleuth.
And this supposedly happened Saturday?
Well, that's when they noticed it.
Oh, they noticed it Saturday. Okay.
Yeah.
Not before the game started.
No. Well, you never know. He's not on
the sideline deleting tweets. No,
Well, yeah. I don't.
So when are we getting the Conklin woke up this morning with a oogie in my hand? Little Bologna Soprano?
Oh. I'm in on Bologna Soprano.
Yeah, I like Bologna Soprano.
Oh, that's
Soprano.
Totally
that was
that.
The song. That's the theme song.
Oh, to the Sopranos.
Yes.
Ooh,
yeah.
Tommy will be with us on Friday, even though there's no Eagles game. So
Doesn't matter.
Maybe he'll have the Bologna Soprano song.
Some intro music.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
The Cowboys game, I was doing stuff like in and out, and I swear to God, if you weren't watching the game, you would have thought the Cowboys were winning. And then the glaze over the kicker, like Tony Romo was like all excited that he might have tried a 70-yard kick.
Aubrey.
And then
hello, Jim.
Interception.
Yeah, I didn't hear any of that. Oh. I saw my guy throw for four TDs. I mean, not Jalen, the Bo Nix. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It was in the middle of the game, and they showed this clip of, like, something happened, like, in the 70s with Tom Landry, and there's the running back.
No, when they beat Denver in the Super Bowl.
Well,
27-10.
And yes. Gary, the national media wants the Cowboys to be good because they're interesting.
Yes.
And because they're famous. And the fact that they look good for a couple of weeks, everybody
loved it. Yeah, you got to
very
milk it.
Excited.
You got to milk it while you can.
Yeah, and then... And then they ran into a winner yesterday.
Fortunately, the Cowboys themselves.
Yeah. All right, Gary. Appreciate you, buddy. 215-592-9494. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Next Wednesday, not this coming Wednesday, Wednesday, November 5th, is Birds at the Bye. We will all be here at Chickies and Pete's morning show, midday show, and afternoon show. The whole thing.
And I think ESPN.
ESPN will be here? The show will be here.
Yeah, I believe so.
Ah.
The first live ESPN.
Who's going to be the special guest?
I don't know if I can reveal yet.
Is it going to be a big one?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. The streets are saying,
yeah,
a passing of the torch moment. I know. I'm leaving everyone in limbo.
And when we're saying ESPN, we mean Go Birds Evenings.
Yes,
we decided that name was bad, and because Elliot hosts it, we're calling it ESPN. Get it?
Yeah.
PM.
Nailed it.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. Coming up next, we were just talking about one, you know, unhappy star. He's not the only unhappy star.
We don't have to talk about this.
Yeah, we do. That we'll talk about it next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. You know you can catch all the Eagles action at the official sports bar of your Philadelphia Eagles. That is Chickies and Pete's. 215-592-9494. Will the Cop in the Northeast. Will, you're on WIP.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon. If I may, please.
Yes.
In regards to the initial conversation you and Ike were talking earlier about who's an elite quarterback.
Oh, geez.
And I'm not trying to be facetious by any means whatsoever.
Yeah.
How do you define an elite quarterback?
Do you really want to do this? I'm happy to do it if you want to. Here's what I would say. I think elite. I think there are different levels of quarterback. There's different, like, tiers. And for lack of a better word, I will say the top tier is what I would define as elite. And an elite quarterback, I think, is a quarterback that you can build the entire offense around. That's the centerpiece. So the elite quarterbacks in the NFL, I think the ones I thought Mayock said it last week. I think if you have Mahomes or Allen – or Jackson, and Burrow when he's not hurt, I think you can design the entire offense around them. Like, they are the strongest point on the team. So you make everything work around them. So that is what the difference, I think. So then the next level, and by the way, here's the other thing. There's no shame, I don't think, in being mentioned along with quarterbacks like Matt Stafford or even Dak or Baker. There's a lot of quarterbacks in there, and you can win with those guys. But they are limited in the ways that I don't think the top four quarterbacks are limited. Now, there's not a specific number that could be. That number could be six. That number could be two, the number of quarterbacks you would put there. So, and I think if you go back over history, I think you probably, at the Brady Manning era or whatever, they were probably the only two guys. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look that were in maybe Favre,
I
guess.
Favre was in that category.
Yeah,
he was in that category before they were.
Yes, right.
Breezy Poo.
Breeze.
Yeah. So that's that's how I would define it, I guess.
Okay, good. So here's my question. So right now as we speak, where do you put Jalen Hurts?
So
is he an elite quarterback?
So I don't think so. But we committed to not ranking them until the end of the season. That's when the rankings
just rank them.
But I do think
I do think
he is in the next group. Now, if you had asked me 3 weeks ago, where is he in that group based on how he's playing this year, I would say probably not at the top. But now that he has played, he is playing better at the top. But I don't think, to me, watching him, I don't think he has leapt into the next group. And I probably wouldn't in the middle of the year, you know, because it is about who the guy is as a player, not how he's playing at the moment, for me.
Based on history, let's look back. Dan Marino, would you justify Dan Marino as an elite quarterback during his era?
Absolutely, positively, yes.
Okay, so therefore, one doesn't have to win the Super Bowl in order to be an elite quarterback.
And,
correct. That's why Joe Burrow's still elite.
Yeah, they don't. And just because you do win the Super Bowl, I wouldn't necessarily qualify you as elite. And I think you can go through history and find plenty of good quarterbacks that won the Super Bowl, but not elite quarterbacks.
And the reason why I'm bringing that is because no one had defended Ike Reese in regards to Jalen Hurts, but yet it all, in my opinion, just my opinion, it all depends on the individual, whether or not you like that particular individual or not. Now, I was under the impression when you play any team sport, the ultimate goal is to win the chip, correct?
Sure, yes.
Okay. So if a quarterback, for example, let's say McNabb, I think number five was an elite quarterback. However, he has not won the chip. Would you agree with that?
I think he had high-level years. I wouldn't have put him in the elite category at the time.
In his time, I think he was in that group.
Really?
Yes. Mainly because of the winning.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was the quarterback that was in the NFC Championship game every year.
Yeah, probably for a stretch there. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Now, if you may indulge me for a minute, please. Let's take, for example,
another minute.
You take, and I'm going to switch this to basketball real quick. You have Michael Jordan.
Yep.
You have Wilt, and you have Bill Russell. Bill Russell has won more championships than either one of these guys that I mentioned, correct?
Yeah, but he doesn't pass the eye test.
Yes, he has.
Sorry?
Let him finish. Yes, he has.
Okay, but
you didn't even watch him.
But they consider Wilt and Jordan one of the greatest basketball player ever, surpassing Bill Russell. Why is that?
Well, Jordan.
Well, he was
for sure.
Better individual. Well, Wilt was better than Bill Russell.
More talented, yeah.
Yeah, as an individual player, he was a better player.
Sure,
100 points in the game.
So, you as a fan, would you much rather a player that would give you 11 rings in opposed to a player that?
But okay, see, this is where it falls apart. This is where it falls apart. Bill Russell, a great player, had an unbelievable team. You keep saying he won a ring, and you keep doing that with the quarterback. Do you think every player on the Eagles last year was elite? Because they all won the Super Bowl. Was every player on the Eagles last year elite?
Absolutely.
You would agree. You would agree that Bill Russell gets put in the 10 greatest player.
Absolutely.
But it's more because of the team success than it is him as an individual player.
Well, he was a dominant defensive player, a dominant rebounder.
When you're a dominant defensive player, it means you're not a good offensive player.
Exactly.
And in basketball, you would much rather be a better offensive player than a dominant defensive player.
Will, I don't know the point. And I know you keep asking for a minute. It's been 5 minutes. I don't know what your point is. Is your point is that Jalen's elite because he won the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Jalen's elite because all these qualifications.
No, I'm asking you about Jalen. Do you think Jalen's elite because he won the Super Bowl? So you also believe that every Eagle player last year was elite.
No, I think Jalen is an elite quarterback based on his individual performance as a quarterback, which led the Eagles to win a Super Bowl.
I do not believe that. I believe Jalen had a pretty good year last year and a great NFC Championship game in a Super Bowl, and I do not think he was the driving
force.
I actually do not think he was the driving force behind them winning the Super Bowl last year. I thought he played a big part in it during the year, not turning the ball over and those sorts of things, but he is not in the top of the list, I would put,
But yet you say Lamar Jackson is an elite quarterback.
Yes.
Yes. But
why is Lamar Jackson not an elite quarterback?
Why?
He threw for 41 touchdowns and threw four picks. Throwing to who?
What did he do in the postseason?
He lost to another great team.
What did he do?
He lost to a great team.
He has never won.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not talking to Will anymore.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Show to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Because I don't. He seemed like he wanted to have a reasonable conversation. He didn't. Yeah. So, all right.
Let's get to Bryce.
Yeah, let's just get to Bryce. That's why he's all hot.
Elite player.
That's why he's hot. That's why he's hot. So, Dave Dombrowski.
Yeah, let me hear you yell at Dave.
Well, Dave Dombrowski said the thing.
They both got to grow up.
Yeah. Dave Dombrowski said the thing that he thought Bryce was a really good player this year. He didn't know if he'd get back to elite. The big insult here was comparing him to Freddie Freeman, one of the best players in baseball. Enormous insult for Bryce. So Bryce was so perturbed by this. Either Matt Gelb went to him or he went to Matt Gelb. To be clear, Bryce Harper did not have some public media availability.
Could have came on the show.
He could have come on the show. He wanted, clearly, to react to this. Here are some of the quotes from Matt Gelb's article on The Athletic. Quote, "I have given my all to Philly from the start. Now there's trade talk. I've made every effort to avoid this. It's all I heard in D.C. I hated it. It makes me feel uncomfortable." Quote, this is from Matt Gelb. Harper said he was hurt by Dombrowski's original comments, which were made at the end of the season media availability. The Phillies president of baseball operations has since said he was not challenging Harper. Quote from Harper, "All players get hurt. I hurt my wrist this year and missed a month. Of course I don't have full year numbers."
That's right.
"It's just disappointing to hear me being questioned about my contribution to the team. Just really hurt by the notion because I love Philly so much. I wanted these fans to know Philly is my home. Mm-hmm. So from the start, I made the commitment to stay here for the rest of my career. No opt-out, even though I was advised otherwise. I trust John." So this is about money. And this is about extension on his contract. And Bryce Harper and Scott Boras made a very bad miscalculation here, like they did the last time they were public about the extension. We all agreed that what Dave Dombrowski said, now, we all agreed what he said was probably true, and we begged them to be honest with us, but we all agreed.
No, we don't.
But we all, well, we say it, maybe we don't mean it.
Yeah, we don't beg them to be honest with our star players.
Well.
Because nobody wants their star player pissed off.
Well, so he
every GM lies about the star player.
Okay. He went and publicly sort of did a...
Yeah.
He said, sorry, you know,
yep.
Went and did that. And then
he
Bryce,
spoke his truth.
He spoke his truth. And then Bryce went and did this. This is what's happening. The reason that Bryce Harper was upset this year is because he, my opinion, he wanted an extension. The Phillies don't want to give it to him. Mm-hmm. What is happening here is Bryce Harper saw an opening. Bryce Harper saw an opening with Dave and Scott Boras with Dave Dombrowski's comments to reposition the PR war here and put pressure on the Phillies to make it sound like the Phillies are the bad guy here for not giving him the extension. And I also believe, given his I trust John here, is that I bet that John Middleton is itchy about this because John Middleton loves Bryce Harper. And Bryce is trying to position this to get to Middleton. Now, it's said here that he has not spoken to Middleton or Dombrowski since the season has ended.
Yeah.
If they wanted this to be cleared up, Dave Dombrowski could call Bryce Harper, or Bryce Harper could call Dave Dombrowski. Mm-hmm. The reason that I believe that that hasn't happened is that when you are in negotiations with a player, you are not supposed to go directly to the player, right? Yeah. I believe Scott Boras.
Jerry Jones.
Yes, I believe that Scott Boras would see that as something that he shouldn't do.
Yeah.
I don't believe that this makes Bryce Harper look better. I believe that specifically considering the context of everybody being disappointed about how the season ended, I don't think this makes Bryce Harper look good. I was hurt by his comments. Mm-hmm. Now let's like...
Well, he's being honest.
Let's relax a little bit. Let's relax a little bit.
Well, hold on. You mean to tell me if the Eagles said that about Jalen, that they don't view him as a top 10 player in the league, top 10 quarterback in the league, he's not playing at an elite level, whether many people agree with the statement, you mean to tell me we shouldn't expect the quarterback to be upset about that or feel a certain way about that? Like, the offense was 29th in the league last year.
Yes.
Yeah. Passing offense, I mean.
Yeah, Jalen's in a different position than Bryce Harper is.
Okay.
And like, I guess.
Why can't he be? So I'm annoyed by the trade stuff. Like the stuff on the trade, no one wants to trade you.
Yeah, Dave Dombrowski didn't talk about trading him. John Middleton didn't talk about trading him.
And that felt a little
woe
was me. And I think at the end felt woe was me when he said, I've changed positions and done all that. And I agree with you, it is about money.
Because he changed positions for him.
Well,
he changed positions for him.
But he also did help the team out by playing first base. But regardless, like he – but he, I think he is still allowed to be like, well, that was a little annoying that
sure.
they came out and said I'm like not an elite player anymore. I think he was caught off guard.
I just don't think you do that. I don't see the benefit in that.
All that said, I believe this is about him getting his money.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But the organization is the one who put that on Front Street themselves.
And they're poking
and, the and they didn't make it about money. They talked about his talent on the field.
Not they, him. Just Dombrowski. Rob
that's
Thompson said the other.
About.
Well, no. I'm saying.
I'm talking about Dave. Like,
okay.
We know it's Dave Dombrowski.
Okay. Sure.
Like, Rob Thompson is not even included in this.
Okay.
Quite frankly, I'm thinking about Dave Dombrowski, and my only point is that those are conversations that can happen behind the scenes. There's no reason to go public with any questions about your star player in this town. That's not reading where you are, because we will jump on that stuff like we did. The moment Dave Dombrowski said that, we jumped on it.
And then he went publicly and basically took it back, and Bryce still did this because Bryce wants his money. And Bryce okay. is trying to get to John Middleton about his money. If Dave okay. Dombrowski didn't go on foul territory and essentially say, my bad, you know, like, shouldn't have said it the way I said it.
Yeah.
That, but he did.
No, I agree.
Yeah, he did. And I think this is...
But once you let the toothpaste out of the tube, you've already done it. He was already pissed about it.
And he can't take it back? Like, I don't know. So what is Dave Dombrowski supposed to do now? So Dave Dombrowski publicly goes and says that basically they shouldn't have said what he said, and that Bryce Harper is a cornerstone player and mm-hmm. hopes he's here forever and ever. So then if they're not going to have a private conversation, then I don't know what else Dave Dombrowski could do to prevent this from happening.
The problem, because it was too late, he's already let it be known that they don't view Bryce Harper as an elite player. And more importantly, they have questions as to whether or not he could be that player moving forward. So to the athlete, you've already put that out there. In other words, you served me up to a fan base that's already mad about our performance during the postseason. You've made it about me, and you put me on the slab for everybody to rip. You just gave the okay to us as a fan base to say, see, he's not an elite player. He didn't perform. It's not that an organization is supposed to protect their star player if they're on the same page. How many times has the Sixers lied about Joel Embiid? I mean, the Eagles lied about Wentz. Like, you protect that guy as long as he's in your building, because he's a part of you unless you're trying to separate yourself from him. And that's what I felt like. It was almost like you pushed Harper out there like, yeah, you may think you're this type of player, but we don't really view you as that type of player right now. And right or wrong, listen, here's the one thing the Phillies can't do. It's like raising a child. I let the kid get away with everything. Let him have whatever he wants when he asks for it, when we go to the mall.
Sure.
When we go here, this, that, and the other. Kid turns out to be spoiled. Kid can't handle when you finally decide to tell him no. But you've helped create this by giving him everything he wants up until this point.
Mm-hmm.
So the Phillies have helped enable Bryce to be
I agree.
The athlete that he is.
By signing his friends.
And just because you don't want to give him money, now you want to throw him out to the wolves. That's what it is. Because before then, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. You're not criticizing him. You're signing players that he wants you to sign. You're doing all those things. But the moment he's asking for more money and you don't really want to give it to him, this is your tactic with him now. So then you can't be upset when he goes the route that he goes.
Well,
or the Phillies can't be surprised that I don't agree with Bryce. This looks soft.
Yeah.
This looks soft. I completely agree with that. But no one should be surprised.
Oh, I don't think anybody's surprised.
Yeah, no one should be surprised he responded this way. I said that he was going to be upset by this.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think anybody's surprised. But I think at the end, this makes everybody look bad.
Yep.
I think at the end of the day, like, the Phillies are going – Bryce Harper will be judged by how he plays, and the Phillies will be judged by how much money they spend this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And I am sure part of the conversation with Boris about Bryce is, you want us to continue to make this team better by investing in it, and invest giving you more money is not going to help us invest in the rest of the team. And I'm sure that is a challenge point as well. I think this makes them all look bad, mm-hmm. and I think when they are publicly negotiating, from the Phillies as well, mm-hmm. because even though I agreed with Dombrowski, I thought by the end of the day when we were talking about it, I get it. You probably shouldn't have said what you said. And I think what also was probably going through the back of Dombrowski's mind is the irritation over this conversation privately.
Yep. And you know I think I can tell that he's irritated by it is because Bryce has brought up the wrist. Everyone's brought up the wrist. The only person who has not brought up the wrist is Dombrowski.
Yep. Right, yes.
He won't let him off the hook.
Right, yeah.
With the wrist thing.
Yeah.
So, listen, and the thing that I find interesting, too, in Middleton in the 21 offseason, like the early 21 offseason, there was a report about would you trade Zach Wheeler, and he said I wouldn't trade Zach Wheeler for Babe Ruth, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So I think it's actually gotten to the point where Middleton needs to find some way to address this.
Well, all Middleton has to do is call Bryce Harper,
and that's the other weird part. Like, why is he not calling Bryce Harper?
I'm telling you, it is because they think it will be perceived by. I think if they went directly to Bryce, I think Boris would perceive. Because remember, there's a line in here. The two lines that I think are important here is that Boris advised them not to take the no opt-out, and he trusts John. So if one of them goes directly to Bryce, if I'm Scott Boris, what I do is I go to them and I go, now you're trying to circumvent the conversation that we're having by going directly to Bryce. So that's why I believe they wouldn't do it. Because if you have an agent, those conversations are supposed to be had with the agent, not with the player. If this was strictly personal, mm-hmm. and this was strictly Bryce just being upset, I do believe Dombrowski or John Middleton would call Bryce Harper. Mm-hmm. There's no reason for John Middleton not to, unless he believes that it will be perceived or framed by Scott Boras as them going around him to have this conversation. And because if he – here's the other part of that. Let's say John Middleton says, I don't want to have this conversation with Bryce about his extension. I just want to have the conversation about what Dave said. There's no way that that conversation between Middleton and Bryce doesn't eventually get there. Whether it's Bryce or whether it's Middleton, that like you are setting yourself up for an uncomfortable conversation with somebody that you shouldn't be having that conversation with. And that's why it makes them all look bad. Because this should be, if Bryce wants to crap on the Phillies about what they said, and the Phillies want to crap on Bryce about his performance, this is all for backroom. This is all for Dave Dombrowski and Scott Boras. For Dombrowski to say directly to Boras, your guy's not a lead anymore. That's why I can't give you the extension.
Right.
And for Boras to say to Dombrowski, he's the reason that you're even in this situation as a winner. But those are all, this is the mistake that Dombrowski made. It's all behind the scenes.
Yeah,
that would be my guess.
I completely agree with you. And I've seen the Eagles. I know baseball is a little different than football, but I've seen the Eagles, particularly over the last 5 to 10 years, do things and operate in ways that they wouldn't have operated 20 years ago. In other words, they don't have a problem adjusting certain players' contracts so that they feel like they are appreciated and worthy. They make sure certain guys are from an average per year at the same level as the other great players are.
Yep.
That's why they redid Saquon's contract. That's why they redid AJ's contract a year or two after they already given him a new contract, because they were giving Devontae a contract that would have seemed to make him equal to AJ. But no, you got to give AJ a little bump because AJ is the number one guy. The Eagles had no problem doing that. They've done that with linemen. All I'm saying is that I look at the Sixers. You're going to bring in Paul George and you just gave Tyrese Maxey $200 million? I'm the big dog still here. I can't be the third highest paid on the team, or, you know, I'm the one whose contract is up in 2 years, but you want me to put everything on the line for you. So you better do something to make me whole.
Well, and that is the difference. I agree. That's the difference between baseball and the other sports is that baseball is one sport that when they sign these deals, that like there's a bunch of guys on deals
that are, and
it is part of it. It's just.
You don't
a
really
part
see
of this.
Deals get ripped up
in baseball.
No, I agree. Most of them, but because the salaries are growing so fast, we're in different times.
Sure. Yeah.
Like Acuna still hasn't ripped up the 10-year, $100 million deal.
Yeah.
He could have done that.
Well, he has to be there.
Well, they could. Yeah. Yeah. All right. 215-592-9490. It's going to be an interesting offseason because all of this is connected to money that they spend this offseason. Because I'll tell you one way, the Phillies could look better in all this. If they go sign Kyle Schwarber and add Cody Bellinger
or Bregman or
whatever, then all of a sudden
Nobody cares if Bryce is getting paid.
Yeah, if I'm a Phillies fan.
Nobody cares if Bryce is getting paid.
And Boris can finally stop complaining about not having enough protection in the lineup for Bryce.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's the other thing. That's been the biggest thing with me, Spike, is more or less
– why bring this out to the public?
Yeah, I agree. That's the biggest thing. I agree, and it makes them all look bad.
Of course,
because I do believe it's about the contract, and we don't want to hear that.
And because he's again, it's $330 million over 13 years. Like that's nothing. You're going to be able to feed your kids.
Right. Well, at his rate.
I'm joking when I say that's nothing.
Don't everybody freak out.
Yeah. So that's why it's hard for the common man, like everyone on this show, to grasp.
Yeah,
and our listeners.
I didn't even see. $330 million. What is that? Did I see 10% of that? I didn't see 10% of that because that's $33 million, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I didn't even see 1% of that.
Well, you saw 1%. I may have seen 1%. Yeah, you saw 1%.
Don't count my wallets.
Yeah,
right?
Everyone starts.
Well, it's all on the internet.
Get the calculators out.
215-592-9494. It's going to be an interesting offseason with Bryce and the Phillies. Just like it'll
Talk
be
in the spring.
Yeah, Fritz.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, no. This is the Sixers are back. The Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl, and my Phillies are falling apart.
Yeah. Yep.
Exactly.
Yep,
yeah. I hope everyone's happy.
Yeah. Well, everyone, gather around the radios because the top five
game
and
balls.
Five is next, and Jack will
Carson's
hand out
getting season-ending surgery on his shoulder too. Jesus.
I thought he was faking it.
Well, they let him stay out there until he died.
Kevin O'Connell needs to be in handcuffs.
We're at Chickies and Feats in South Philly. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Show to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.